Okay, welcome back everybody for another night of learning. This is Mordechai Plotzker in Marine Park, Brooklyn. Special thanks to Jake Wyman in Denver, Colorado, and Ari Perlman in Staten Island, New York. We're discussing Parshas Nusso, and we left off last week talking about the Berachas Kohanim with regard to the urgency of the uniqueness of this particular mitzvah in that it has to be done via hava, it has to be done with love. And we talked about the fact that if somebody is unable to give a bracha over to Klal Yisrael with that particular necessary ingredient of love, perhaps the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Siman Kuf Chav Ches, which is 128, if there are two Kohanim and they both can't stand one another and they both make a deal or that I'll do Shacharis and you'll do Musaf or vice versa, they nevertheless both have to go up to the Amud and do the priestly blessing. And so they're not allowed to make deals with one another. And even more so, if the Kohen is not liked by the Tzibor, or if the Kohen himself does not like particular people in the Tzibor, then Mishnah Berurah brings down that it's preferable for the Kohen to excuse himself and pardon himself, so to speak, and walk out of the shul before Ritzeh, so that this way he does not have to say the Berachas Kohanim, which is a very, very strong language for the Mishnah Berurah to provide to us, because we just said that there's a requirement and they can't make deals, they still have to go up there and dochen. But perhaps because these Kohanim are being the conduits from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to transmit this priestly blessing over to the Jewish people, therefore they are bound to give this over with love. And so when I was thinking about this, if you take a look at the Baal Turim, it says, Yivarachacha Hashem v'yishmaracha. The first letters of those three words equal 26. And the last three letters of those three words equal 45. So the Baal Turim that this is the Shem Hashem, 26, Shem Havaya, as well as the Mem Hei, which is also another name for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that has 45 letters. So this is these are both, enunciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And so therefore, there's an imperative on behalf of these Kohanim to give this blessing over with this love, because in fact they are invoking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different names, and they are present in this blessing. When we look through this blessing, we also see Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'Chunecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us grace upon our faces. And I was thinking when I was looking at this pasuk on Shabbos, I gave over Shir Baruch Hashem to the Shabbos to a group of people. That we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should have Chayin, Chesed, and Rachamim, that we should be able to invoke those three qualities, and that people should see them imprinted upon our actions. So therefore, it should be part of us. It should be part of our persona. And so the root of this is perhaps we look back at these Kohanim and they all come from Sheva Levi, and we all know that there was a famous incident between Dina and the rescue operation that Shimon Levi orchestrated against the Shechem, Hamor, and the townspeople there. And when Yaakov found out about this news, he was very upset because he was concerned that the entire world will rise against Shiftei Ka, and how will they take vengeance? How will they be able to defend themselves against an onslaught of the entire world? And so later on, when Yaakov Avinu has to give over the blessings to his children, he says, Shimon v'Levi Achim, Shimon and Levi, you two are brothers. That you both use your weapons in an act of war, and you destroyed an entire town. And the Archaim HaKadosh, by the way, if you take a look there, he's very clear where he believes that everyone in that town was Mechuyav Misa, specifically because if someone were to take a young girl, a prisoner, and despite the fact that all the terrible things that they did to her, if nobody in that town is willing to raise their voice and say that this is an abomination, and this is something that we're not going to tolerate, since nobody raised their voice in defiance of what these people had done, then they are all, so to speak, in the same camp, and they're all worthy of Nisa. Why? Because this is not something that Olam Chesed Yibana comes in many different forms, and taking a young girl hostage and not returning her to her family, and this is the reason why the Aruch Hayim takes a very strong approach. But when Yaakov Avinu himself has to give over the blessings, he says, "Achalkein b'Yaakov v'afitzin b'Yisrael." Now, when it comes to Shimon, I'm going to divide him amongst the tents or the geography, the demographic geography of the Jewish people. And as far as Levi, v'afitzin b'Yisrael, I will spread them out among all of the Jewish people. I can recall more than 22 years ago when I was in Rabbi Moshe Tendler's shir in Yeshiva University, Yeshiva Sobeni Yitzchak Elchanan, when we came and we were discussing this as far as the parsha, Parshas Vayechi, I recall with memory that Rabbi Tendler explained this pasuk in the following manner. He explained that there was a need for Yaakov to imprint upon his children the necessity of not being destructive, but rather being constructive. That there are many different times in life when we face adversity and we face challenges, and sometimes the quick response is to not think with your head and to think with your hand. And Yaakov Avinu was teaching his children and the rest of the Jewish people that we have to think with our heads. We have to think about how we can change the situation in a constructive manner as opposed to a destructive manner. We all know the consequences of the destruction that Shimon and Levi, whether or not you want to argue they were justified or they weren't justified, whether you side with the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh or you side with other opinions, irrespective of that, we still are left with the fact that there was a terrible destruction that took place, perhaps warranted. And at the same time, Yaakov Avinu is saying that there's a better way to live your life. So since there's so much positive energy, Shimon ended up becoming a Melame Tinokos. Rashi brings this down. And Melame Tinokos, we all know, do not make money at all. They do not make significant money. They're not doctors. They're not lawyers. They're not risk management people. They are teachers. And if you ask them, do you love your job? They will tell you they love it. They've done it for 40 years. And it's not about the money. So what is it about? It's about Jewish pride. These are educators that stretch out their pockets, so to speak, in order to educate another generation, to have an imprint on that generation. And it's because of their Yiddish pride. It's because of their incredible pride that motivates them to do this every single day. Today, there are obviously there are pension plans and there are motivations beyond the meager salary that they may get, although those who are educated with masters and additional degrees do make nice money. But at the same time, it may not be comparable to other professions. And so the motivation that these educators have, perhaps, is rooted in this intense pride that they take in their work. And so despite the fact that they may not be earning that much, they nevertheless come back and do it every single day. Levi, on the other hand, can argue that he is the Mesharsa Beis HaMikdash. He is someone who is in the house of God every single day. So on the one hand, you can say that whatever profession you might have, you are still pale in comparison to what I do every single day, which is I am in communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a banker, you're an artist, whatever it might be, you cannot compare your profession to what I am able to accomplish every single day. I'm able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What could be a higher level than this? And yet, at the same time, here was Levi knocking on the doors of our fellow brothers and sisters among the Jewish people, asking for a handout. Oh, honey, you know, remember the Kohen? He's here again. He's knocking at the front door. I think he needs a handout. And then the husband says, well, why don't you go send him to the back, and there's a couple bushels for him to go pick up. So it's a very degrading set of circumstances that the Levi finds himself. On the one hand, everyone is coming to him and asking for him to provide the necessary services when it comes to offering a karbon, a sacrifice. And at the same time, here is the Levi in his very humble attire, knocking on the door asking for a handout for the tithing, for the maestros that we're all required to give to these holy people. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Yaakov Avinu and through the Torah HaKadosh, is teaching us an invaluable lesson, which is a lesson of balance. It's not about pushing yourself to one extreme or the other extreme. Yaakov Avinu is teaching his children that when it comes to cooperating or mingling with the rest of the Jewish community, it's important that a person should recognize his strengths and his limitations. That although Shimon Levi have great strength, and that being Jewish pride, they nevertheless have to be tempered. And so therefore, the best way to accomplish this is Achalkim B'Yaakov, that I must spread them out among all of the Jewish people, because every single community, every single one, needs to have an educator that is filled with Jewish pride. And it's not about the money. Sometimes people don't get paid much, and sometimes people do things for free, and they don't do things for the money at all. It's not a money issue. It's about giving over a Mesoras HaTorah that we have, that we were given, and we have a strength to do so, and that is the greatest form of chiyus. And so Yaakov here is teaching, Achakim B'Yaakov, we need a Shimon in every single community in the Jewish people, from Dan to Beersheba, and Beersheba to Eilat, to Chalon, and all the way up to Har Harmon. We need people all over the Jewish, and in the United States, and in Eretz Yisrael, and the United Kingdom, and in the Far East, and Singapore, elsewhere. We need to have educators that are filled with Jewish pride. And at the same time, we need to have Levian. We need to have those people who want to spend their day speaking and communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for being that intermediary on behalf of the Jewish people. But they have to recognize that there's some temperament that they have to exhibit. They have to also be humble. And unfortunately, they're forced to be humble. Nobody wants someone to be humiliated. But at the same time, this is a form of balance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set forth. Ba'afitim b'Yisrael, I will spread them out all among the Jewish people. Every single one of us has the potential to be in communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the same time, this is reserved primarily and specifically for the Kohanim, because they are the ones who don't have a chelek. These Levim don't have a chelek, unlike Shimon, who was tied closely to Shevet Yehuda. And as we saw in the beginning of Shoftim, they both went out to war together because they were so close in proximity. But Levim themselves have this balance where, although they're able to speak directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they also have to knock on doors and asking for handouts. And that is how Yaakov Avinu sought to temper this pride. So when we look back at this Birchas Kohanim, we are reminded of the Birchas Yaakov, and we're reminded that when Yaakov Avinu gives his children a blessing, he's speaking to the qualities, to the strengths, to the weaknesses of each and every single one of the Shvatim, and he knows with certainty that the best way and the only way for us to continue to succeed in this long and difficult galus is when we are able to leverage the strengths and to fill in the gaps whenever there might be a weakness on behalf of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And so when we approach this bracha, Birchas Kohanim, we have to approach it with a sense of reverence, knowing that the source of this is coming all the way back from Birchas Yaakov, and that Amavarech Es Am Yisrael B'Yahava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a mandate to the Kohanim that they should give it over with love. However, we close with the sentence, B'Samo Shemiyah B'nei Yisrael V'Ani Avarechem, that even if a Kohen has different motivations and different thoughts when he's giving that blessing, he should nevertheless be reminded that it's not himself, it's really coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'Samo Shemiyah B'nei Yisrael, and who is going to deliver it? It's ultimately coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in this chus, I give everyone the bracha that we should have Birchas Kohanim. It should be a roshim on our heads, and we should be filled with chayin. We should have that grace. People should look upon this is a walking Kiddush Hashem. This is Mordechai Plotzker in Brooklyn, New York. Special thanks again, Jake Wyman in Denver, Colorado, and our friends on the East Coast, led by Aryeh Perlman in Staten Island. Wishing everyone a slacha and a learning. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9:50 p.m. sharp.